Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, Halloween is spiking attendance and increasing future plans for the holiday, some unexpected changes coming to the jungle,
and we discuss the rough situation between Disney and the city of Anaheim. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and thank you for tuning into this episode of Disneyland Weekly, episode 2 for the week of October 4th, 2017. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to start off by thanking any new patrons that are supporting the show. This week, Laura became a patron. Thank you, Laura, for supporting the show.
If you want to be called out or not on the show, be sure to go to disneylandweekly.com/support to support the show. The show is supported by you and not advertisers, so we appreciate anything that you can do for us.
Mortals, to the Haunted Mansion. I am your host, your ghost host. Kindly step all the way in, please, and make room for everyone. There's no turning back now.
It's close to midnight. Something evil. MySage reports this week that attendance numbers have been slowly growing during the Halloween season over the past few years, but the additions that were added to Disney California Adventures that we discussed last week have really increased visits to the resort, even beating out the bump that Cars Land brought back in 2012. This has resulted in extensions to the park hours throughout October, with Disney California Adventure being open from 8 to midnight on Fridays, 8 to 11 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. Disneyland has also extended their hours to 11 or midnight through October.
This uptick in attendance has encouraged Team Disney Anaheim to increase their Phase 2 plans at Disney California Adventure. They'll be expanding Buena Vista Street decorations, including adding decor to the inside of the shops, adding decorations to the Grizzly Peak area, and increase the planned Halloween overlay at Radiator Springs Racers. It seems the TDA's plan to move as many guests over to DCA from Disneyland before Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opens is paying off.
David Koenig over at MySage is reporting that the Jingle Cruise, the holiday overlay for the Jungle Cruise in Adventureland, will not be returning this year. It is unclear whether or not it will return in the coming years. Rumor has it that the reasoning behind this decision is the limited park capacity. Closing the attraction for the setup and then again for the teardown would not be worth the capacity loss.
Gay Days Anaheim is this weekend at the resort. The event runs from Friday, October 6th through Sunday, October 8th. This is the 20th year for the event. The Welcome Center opens at noon on Friday at the Trillium Room at Disney's Grand Californian Hotel. Disney legend Bob Gurr will be giving a talk at 6 p.m. on Friday in the Sorrel Room, also at the Grand Californian, and is free to attend. Wonderland, one of the biggest parties for the event, starts at 9 p.m. on Friday at the Anaheim Garden Walk. Kingdom, the main event for Gay Days, is on Saturday at 9 p.m. at the ESPN Zone. Saturday will also be Disneyland Day. Sunday, the pool party starts at noon at the Anaheim Majestic Garden Hotel, and it is California Adventure Day. If you are attending, don't forget to wear a red shirt. More information on all of these events can be found at gaydaysanaheim.com.
Disneyland's longest tenured employee, Oscar Martinez, retired on September 27th after 60 years at the Magic Kingdom. The 81-year-old worked as a chef since 1967 at the Carnation Cafe on Main Street. You may never have met him, but know the name. He is the chef that Oscar's Choice, a popular breakfast item, is named after. Oscar started working at Disneyland before he was the chef, working as a busboy at Disneyland's Fantasy One restaurant on December 29th, 1956, just about a year and a half after Disneyland opened.
That is crazy that he worked there basically since the park opened, you know, practically.
So have you tried the Oscar's Choice breakfast item? Do you know what it is?
I read it when I was there last time, and I was like, I don't know. And I ended up getting something else. We did meet Oscar, though, actually. He came out and was shaking everybody's hand. As we discussed in our last episode, the Oogie Boogie popcorn buckets are really popular, and they have been selling out daily. There was a 30-plus minute wait just to buy one. The bucket costs $15, however, refills are just $1. I didn't know if we mentioned it, but it glows in the dark.
Guardians of the Galaxy is still showing strong crowds. We want to pass along a tip for the Fast Pass at the attraction. If you want to get a Fast Pass for the daytime version Mission Breakout of the attraction, make sure that you get one before 3 p.m. each day, as this is one of the machines will start dispensing Monsters After Dark. Be warned that people have been lining up before 2 p.m. to get one of the Monsters After Dark Fast Passes.
Which I think this will be less of an issue if you get the Max Pass, then you can just do it on your phone. You don't even have to go and wait in line. This week, Instagram user Disneyland Panda posted a video of Mickey, Minnie, and Donald over in Disney California's Redwood Creek Challenge Trail. Now, you might not think that was anything special, but all three of them were talking. It does seem that the interactions are a little less improvisational and more scripted, but it's still pretty neat. Let's have a listen.
I don't think today could get any better.
Aww.
Go on!
Guess what we did yesterday?
What?
We went on a safari and saw a whole pride of lions. They were so majestic. The royal family of the jungle.
Somebody even practiced his lion roar.
How?
Oh my gosh.
And that was the first time I'd ever seen lions run away.
So, can you roar like a lion?
Disney has filed a permit to expand the Toy Story parking lot by 455 spaces in the southeast corner of the existing lot. Disney received approval in August from the Anaheim Planning Commission to expand this lot.
Disney is retooling their plans for the Eastern Gateway project in hopes that the Anaheim City Council will approve changes to the pedestrian overpass that allow greater accessibility to Harvard Boulevard. With just 18 months to go until Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opens, Disney needs to get this right if they have any hope of getting the project anywhere near completion on time. We're going to be talking more about this in our discussion segment later on.
MiceAge also reports that a lot of smaller projects will be coming to the resort because of the new fiscal year that started for the resort this Monday. The first of these changes is the removal or trimming back of the rockwork at the entrance to Tomorrowland. I don't know about you, but that's long overdue. In fact, I'm still waiting for them to move the rocket jets back to the top of the old People Mover area. And while they're at it, figure out a way to bring that the People Mover all together.
Totally agree. In preparation for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opening in 2019, the terraced walkways in New Orleans Square are going to be reconfigured to allow for better guest flow into and out of the land. This will be very interesting to see how they pull this one off.
My adventures in Wonderland began when I followed the white rabbit down the rabbit hole. All of a sudden, I fell down.
This week, our discussion topic is a heated one, at least between the Anaheim City Council and the Walt Disney Company. I went down this rabbit hole in researching the Eastern Gateway Project, which is what the new proposed parking garage on the other side of the hotels along Harbor Boulevard is being called. This project would connect the new parking garage to the resort by way of the bridge over Harbor, essentially cutting off the hotels, shops, and restaurants there. I know from reading a lot of stuff all over the internet, especially on some of the popular newspapers and stuff of the area. The Orange County Register and the LA Times have had quite a bit of articles on this, just talking about, you know, how the people that are there on Harbor are just upset. Because if you've seen the video, if you go on YouTube and look for the Eastern Gateway Project, you can see Disney's mock-up that they showed to the city council and to the people of Anaheim to kind of try to get this going. And they're worried that with this bridge, that you're not going to be able to easily get to the resort, first of all, from right there on Harbor Boulevard. You'd have to go all the way around into the parking garage area and through security there. But they're also mad because people that pull into the garage are not going to go past their restaurants or their hotels or their gift shops anymore. And they're just going to totally bypass them altogether. And Disney doesn't care because they still get the money and everything. But these, you know, these hotel people and everything are also mad. Now, this is a really complicated thing. I know, Teresa, I gave you quite a few links to read and kind of get caught up on this. And what do you think?
Well, I guess I didn't realize that they were going to be completely getting rid of the Disneyland entrance as we know it today. I figured that it was going to be a secondary entrance, that you'd have an entrance in, well, what I consider to be more of the back, where the parking garage is going to be, along with the entrance that I personally use now. So I was a little shocked to find out that the entrance on that main boulevard there was going to be completely closed. So I get where the frustrations are coming, because I know me personally, where I will hotel and stay, this is going to create a longer walk for me, and it's going to be a little bit, I don't know, more complicated to kind of weave back into where I need to get into the park each morning. And I realize I'm going to be spending my entire day walking, but I would rather have more energy for the park than just trying to weave my way into the park. We did also come into and learn a lot of other topics that this has brought up for the city of Anaheim. Since there is a new mayor in town, he is kind of using this as leverage, I guess would be a good way of saying it, to try and get some other things done as far as getting more tax revenue from Disney for the city of Anaheim, and to try to not spend as much of the city's taxpayer budget on things that directly benefits Disney. I guess I didn't realize the relationship there was kind of a little bit one-sided, meaning Disney kind of was getting more out of the deal than the city was. So it was interesting for me to read about, you know, how much they're getting in tax breaks, that sort of thing. It was also interesting to see how many jobs and what they are paying in taxes. And it's just astronomical numbers. It's just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at some of this too. First of all, Mayor Tom Tate is the mayor of Anaheim. He's been a councilman in Anaheim since 1996, and he just became mayor a couple years ago. And he has really kind of pushed for Anaheim, or I'm sorry, for the Disneyland Resort to kind of pay, you know, their share of the dues. One thing that came up in one of these articles that was extremely interesting to me, and I think it was to you too, Teresa, was that the city of Anaheim footed the bill for the Mickey and Friends parking structure. And even though Disney charges 20 whatever dollars per car right now, that the city of Anaheim gets none of that. And when the city is done paying off the garage through their bonds, they basically sign it over to Disney. So the city built this thing, the city paid for this thing, and then they're just going to hand it over when it's done being paid off.
I'm curious to see what the discussion was for that, because there had to have been something that they were gaining on this, because that just seems way too one-sided. I don't know why they would have agreed to do that, because that parking garage isn't that old, is it?
No, it got built, I believe it opened in 98 or 99, 2000, somewhere around there, right before California Adventure opened. It was part of that whole resort expansion.
Some other things I found kind of interesting was that there are 30,600 people that work at the Disneyland Resort, which accounts for nearly 19% of Anaheim's jobs. That's like a town. That's amazing that there's that many people that work there. We did see that according to one company's report, in 2016, the Disneyland Resort paid more than $125 million in taxes, bonds, levies, fees, and contracts that directly benefited Anaheim, its residents, and the local schools. One other thing that I found really interesting, because like I said, with how one-sided it seemed the scale was with the relationship between Disneyland and the city. Since 1992, Disneyland has paid the city for police services at its resort's property and has done the same for fire and paramedic services since 2000. So those contracts now generate more than $10 million a year for the city. So I thought that was pretty interesting that...
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously getting a lot of money for that. I mean, the city... I mean, for those of you listening, I'm sure it's going to come as a shock, but Teresa and I both do not live... even in California or Florida, if you're a Disney World fan. We live in the Midwest. And so our smaller town is really interesting because, I mean, Disneyland employs 30,000...
Yeah, 30,600
people. 30,600
people.
Well, our, you know, our bigger city kind of near us is like 52,000 people, the whole city.
Right.
And, you know I used to work for the city here for a little while and, you know, $10 million for a police force is a pretty big deal. Now, something that they talk about is, you know, that the reason a lot of these changes are coming up are because poverty, declining income, rising crime are all having this effect and creeping into Anaheim, and they need to try to kind of get rid of that, and they want to spend more money to be able to rejuvenate these things. Now, when you and I go to the Disneyland Resort, you know, when I used to live in Northern California, even I would drive it on I-5. I-5 looks terrific. I'd get off and go right into the parking ramp. Mm-hmm. I'd spend all day at Disneyland. I'd go back to my car. I'd drive to my hotel and everything looks great. But if you ever leave the Anaheim Resort District and go even to Knott's Berry Farm, you know, right up the street, basically, there's quite a difference in the neighborhood just a few blocks away from Disneyland. Like, it is a fairly rundown area, actually. Especially compared to our Midwest kind of values for how that stuff looks. But I mean, you know, I understand that they want to get money and they want to have this thing. But, you know, something, the other thing that bothers me here is, and I feel this way about sports people too. So, you know, there's been a few things, you know, where sports teams and whatnot, they come in and they come into an area and they go, we want to build a stadium. You need to, taxpayers need to help pay for the stadium or we're going to leave. We're not going to be your team anymore. We're going to go somewhere else because they'll build us a stadium. And they pay their players millions of dollars a year, but they can't pay for a stadium.
Right.
So I kind of feel that way about Disneyland. You know, Disneyland, makes a lot of money, is not a non-profitable company. It makes millions and billions of dollars a year. I own one Disney share, and I always get a check from them every year for, I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head, but I get a, you know, for
dividends.
The fact that dividends. Yep, I get a dividend from them. And you know, it's not like they're in trouble. It's not like Disney's going to go out of business if Anaheim doesn't give them tax credits right. for these things, which I think is ridiculous. So they could pay for that. You know, one of the things you do, Teresa, is you make soap. And so you have a small company yourself. And if you lived in Anaheim, Anaheim's not going to pay for you to open up a manufacturing plant or pay for you to even, you know, hire a second person. They're just not going to do that. So these larger companies that can afford to do it without any incentives are always the ones that get the incentives. And I think even in the case of Disney, I think that that's sad. Now, one of the other things they brought up too is, the ticket tax. You know, they wanted to be able to charge some money on the tax. What I don't understand about Disney is, why do they care? They're going to do just like the resort tax does, which is you go and stay at a hotel in the Disneyland resort area or the Anaheim resort area. And anywhere you stay, they pass along the resort fee to you. It's, you know, 13 or 15 bucks a day or whatever it is. And that just gets passed along as a fee to the person who wants to stay there. So why does Disney care that Anaheim tax on a dollar or two to your ticket? It's not like Disneyland's paying for it.
I wonder if it's just as simple as they're the ones that are going to have to deal with people complaining and asking why.
I don't think people care that much. You know? I mean, if I got there and Disneyland said, okay, to get in today, it's $110. And after the resort tax, it's $115. I'd be like, oh, okay, here's $115. Yeah. You know, people complain all the time that Disney raises their prices. You know, every year they've raised their price. I'll tell you what, when I used to have an annual pass in the early 2000s, I had a premium annual pass for $229. That got me discounts. That got me free parking. That got me access to both parks every single day of the year with no blackouts. $229. If you buy that same pass today for a whole year, yep. Yeah. Now, if you buy that same pass, I believe it's up to like $700 or $800 for that same thing. So it's increased dramatically, but people still pay it because they think it's a good value. And honestly, you know, I don't like paying large price to go to a Disney park either, but I also think that you're getting your value's worth out of it.
So I just see here that the regular adult price of admission is now $110. And just to kind of put things in perspective, how much of a difference just 1% of that would be a dollar. So that would be your 1% that you're charging for your extra fees for the city, the ticket tax. Well, since 2007, our price of admission has increased by 67% just to get in the park. So really, why are we so worried about 1%? We've already been, it's already been raised 67. Unfortunately, what's one more dollar?
I agree. And I don't understand, you know, I don't know. I know that it's one of the problems that they're having, and they talk about this with, you know, I said it a few minutes ago, that the pay rate, you know, the average income of people in Anaheim is going down. Well, one of my dreams is to work at Disneyland, and I would love to work at Disneyland. The problem is I cannot afford to work at Disneyland and live down there.
Correct, yeah.
So I get that, but and it prices all those people out. So if people that worked at the Disneyland Resort did not get comp passes and sign-in privileges, I would argue that some of the people that work there cannot even afford attend where they work, which is kind of sad. So I think Disney needs to do something about that. But again, ticket prices have gone up. We're getting some new attractions. We're getting Galaxy's Edge. We got Cars Land. We're going to be getting probably a Marvel themed land soon. You know, they're making all this money and they're putting it back into the park, which I think is good. But I think they need to invest in people more, because the more money you pay someone, the more likely they're going to stay with you, and you're not going to have to spend all that money training new people and stuff. But at the same time, you're going to make those people happier, and people will feel less upset that they have to pay more for a ticket, because they're like, okay, these people will have a good living wage. And then as a customer, even if you don't live in Anaheim, even if you don't care at all about this, when you go to the park, if you have a cast member that loves their job and they can make a living, like, they're going to be much happier. You're going to have a much better experience there than what they're making right now. Even though the cast members are actually, I think, wonderful, but I feel like they're probably also probably on some type of assistance, possibly some of them, or they're still living at home, or they're working two or three jobs. And I don't think that's right either. I think something else to note that was interesting that I've seen in a lot of these articles too, is for the 62 years that Disneyland has been in Anaheim, the Anaheim City Council and the city of Anaheim, and in a greater scope, most of Southern California, has been very nice to Disney and Disneyland. And one of the things that I thought was interesting was I read, I can't remember the name of the book now, but it was a book about like all the different like lawsuits and stuff that have been brought against the Disney company because of the Disney parks. And one of the things that was interesting was if you, let's say Teresa, for instance, let's say you go to Disneyland, let's say you slip and fall and break your leg. You have an almost certain chance that you will not win in a case against Disney if it is in Anaheim or Orange County. They've had lots of people that move it to LA County or they move it to some other county, and they are much less favorable to Disney and Disneyland. So you have your chances of being able to successfully fight against Disney and win in a settlement case goes up dramatically. What I think is interesting here is it seems like the city of Anaheim in general is kind of turning against Disney and wants Disney to do more. And honestly, you know what? They're big enough. I think they should just allow the tax, whatever, on the tickets. Let people pay the couple dollars more per ticket. I know this is probably not very popular, people who are already on a limited budget trying to go to the parks anyway. But I think that they should just charge the little bit of extra, or you know what? They should just eat the cost themselves. Just keep the ticket prices the fine, but pay it out of the ticket price. It's not like they're losing money. And then I think that they need to stop trying to get subsidies for stuff, and they just need to be a good neighbor. And I think that would earn a lot of goodwill back from the city of Anaheim. And
or,
I think that
or maybe just cut back on what subsidies they are trying to get instead of, I don't know, $5 billion, maybe try for $3 billion or, you know, whatever, but maybe just cut back, still go with subsidies. Cause I feel like that's just how big businesses work with cities, which I don't understand anyways, but you know, maybe just cut back, because it would be smart for Disney to sort of invest back into the city that has invested into it for so many years. And I mean, if I personally have not gotten out of the resort district, so I don't know what life is like outside of the little Disneyland bubble, but you know, if it is really that kind of rough and ragged, wouldn't you as Disney want everything around you looking nice and pretty and shiny as well? So,
well, that's the
point. You know, maybe it would, I think it would help if they did that. And
most of the people are like you, though. They come in, they go into the Disney bubble.
Right.
And so Disney doesn't care, because most of the people that go there, if they're not from the area, only see that bubble. But you bring up a good point, because most of Disneyland's guests are annual pass holders and they do live around there. But I guess they've just lived around it for so long, maybe they don't care as much. Or Disney doesn't care.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be interesting to see what happens and who's going to give, because it seems like both sides on the issue are pretty strong and pretty solid in what they want to see from the other side. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm hoping that it doesn't really, you know, as a park lover, I'm really hoping that it doesn't cause too many waves and too many ripples and sets back a few of Disney's projects, the main one being the new parking structure, because I know that they are trying to get that completed before the Star Wars Galaxy Edge land opens up, because I think they just want the extra parking and the better flow.
Well, they need it
for the surge that they will be receiving.
I was going to say they need it, because even now, I mean, I follow the annual pass and the Disneyland Twitter handles, and almost every weekend, once or twice, I'll get a tweet saying, Mickey and Friends parking garage is full. Please go park over at the Toy Story lot, or when it's really busy, you can park over at the Anaheim Stadium lot or whatever, and we have buses there or whatever. And that's not even with Star Wars Land. Star Wars Land, I think, is going to bring so many people to the resort that they're not even expecting. I mean, you can tell from the news we talked about, they're redoing a bunch of stuff in New Orleans Square to add more capacity. They're trying to push people out of Disneyland to Disney California Adventure to free up the fact that, you know, basically California Adventure is going to have everything, and Disneyland's going to have Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And they're worried that that is going to be too much, just that one thing. So they need the parking. They need to get this done. There's plenty of, in my opinion, there's plenty of lots that are on Disney's property that they could turn into parking ramps. And I'm not quite sure why they don't just turn more of those things into parking ramps as well. And then they wouldn't even have to worry about an Eastern Gateway project, because there's plenty of room over by Well, I mean, part of the problem is that's probably where they, that's where they want to build their boutique hotel. But maybe, maybe don't build your boutique over, hotel over there. Maybe build the parking over there. Build the boutique hotel where the Eastern Gateway project's going to be. I don't know. It's a very complicated situation. I wish Disney, and to be honest, Disney threatens Anaheim all the time that they're not going to build or they're not going to invest more in their parks because they're not getting what they want. Well, you know what? I would call their bluff because Disney is not going to lose millions of dollars in years and all of the influx of guests that they have for building these new attractions and things like that. They're not going to just let the park go and die somewhere. It's they're constantly going to be working on it. So I'm not sure why the city doesn't just call their bluff and say, okay, you don't want to invest or do anything here? Prove it.
I think that's what they're trying to do right now because it sounds to me like after their last talks, Disney's going back to the drawing board and the city's just waiting. They basically said, nope, not going to do that. We're not going to just bend over and let you do what you want to do, bend over backwards for you. So we'll see.
And for those listeners, if you hear any weird noises in the background, Teresa's got two dogs that decided they wanted to start playing with each other right next to us with the microphone. So if you want to know what that noise is, that's what that noise is. It's a very complicated, very interesting thing. I'm glad we've talked about it a little bit. I think that we'll watch this. You know, they literally have 18 months until they have to have this thing done for Star Wars Land. I don't know. Sorry, Galaxy's Edge. I don't know if they'll get it done in time. I hope so. I know Disney has enough money that they can wave a magic wand and make it happen. But so we'll see. We'll have to see what happens. So, well, before we wrap up this week, we'd like to ask for your help in setting milestones or perks for being a patron over at Patreon. If you have any ideas or things that you'd like from us for supporting the show other than making the show each week, please let us know by sending us an email at feedback@disneylandweekly.com. The other thing I'd like to bring up is, you know, some of the things we've talked about is we have some outtakes from making these episodes that I think you guys might find amusing and entertaining. That can be a Patreon perk. Let us know if that's something that you guys would be interested in. Another thing is, like I mentioned earlier in the episode, Teresa does make soap. I think we're talking about Teresa trying to make like a churro Disneyland soap.
Yep, we're going to try some churro flavored, well, not flavored, scented.
Please, I don't think flavor would be very good.
We have churro scented soap.
Yeah, so that might be something that backers of us on Patreon might be able to get as a perk. So we'll see how that goes.
And if anybody has anything that they'd like to add to our discussion this week, please, please let us know. It doesn't matter if it's our discussion that was between the Disneyland Resort versus the city, or if it was anything that you would like to add or would like to discuss further with us about what we talked about today, please feel free to get a hold of us and we'd love to chat.
Well, that's all we have for you this week. We're entirely supported by the listeners and not advertisements. If you find value in the news, information, and discussion that we bring to you each week, please consider supporting us with just a dollar. That's about 25 cents an episode by going to our website at disneylandweekly.com/support to find out how.
You can help the podcast by leaving a review on iTunes, as this really helps get our podcast out there. If you want to keep up with the podcast, you can follow us on Facebook by searching for Disneyland Weekly, on Twitter at DL Weekly, or sending us an email at feedback@disneylandweekly.com.
We'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.